want to ground us in gratitude. Gratitude for this community, for Reverend Jason, for the Social Action Committee, and all those who were gathered here this weekend for what was a powerful weekend. And gratitude for all those who have come before us to make today possible. Who here, if you are comfortable outing yourself, doesn't know anything about the Harry Potter series? All right. So I'm going to do my best to give you a summary of where book five is. Those of you who know, you can tell me how I did afterwards. So, Harry Potter. This series takes place in a world where there are magical people and where there are non-magical people. The magical people in this world exist largely in secret. Some non-magical people may know magic exists because they have family members that developed magic or somehow discovered it. And like our world, the magical world does include people who hold dangerous beliefs. One of those people in this magical world, I'm going to say it, is known as Voldemort. Fear of a name only increases fear of a thing itself, thank you. Now, the magical world is so scared of him that they won't even say his name. People are scared of him because he uses the immense power that he has to oppress, to cause violence, and to spread hateful ideologies that he says where muggles and muggle-born wizards have less worth than wizards. Muggles, by the way, are what are called non-magical people, or what magical people call non-magical people. Voldemort believes himself to have, we've heard this earlier this week, some great and unmatched wisdom. He believes that non-magical folks and magical folks who come from non-magical families deserve to be persecuted, subservient to what he and his followers call pure blood wizards. Now, at this stage in the series, Voldemort has been kind of MIA. He's been missing in action for about 15 years or so. Some believe him to be dead or sapped of his powers. Unfortunately, at this point in the story, that's not true. Voldemort is at full power. He's had his magical abilities restored, and he is gathering supporters. And he has done so largely in secret. Now, there are some in the magical world that are aware that Voldemort has come back to power. And they've tried to warn the rest of the magical world about this reality. Unfortunately, they are met with disbelief at best, and at worst, ridicule, ostracism, and even criminalization. People in systems and structures of power refuse to believe the few voices that say Voldemort is back. When the danger of Voldemort's return and the rising of his beliefs is very real, only a few people are willing to say or do anything about it. And those few people are persecuted. Even in schools, students are punished for sharing what they know about Voldemort's return. It's a tense time for many, filled with anxiety, fear, denial, suspicion of each other, systemic oppression, and a very real prediction that Voldemort will come to public power. I'm going to take a temperature check. Folks who are familiar, feel like I did a decent job. Folks who are unfamiliar, you feel like you have a little bit of a stronger grasp about what's going on? All right.
Let's go.
So this series is called Harry Potter and Blank, whatever that title is of the book. And in this book, though, Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, for me, the fiercest character, the one that I absolutely love the most, is his bushy-haired, black, and brilliant friend, Hermione Granger. Hermione is a 15-year-old student at Hogwarts. She is one of the school's wisest and most brilliant and cleverest students at the School of Magic, Witchcraft, and Wizardry. And she is one of Harry Potter's best friends. And Hermione is a muggle-born wizard. She's the first in her family to have magical abilities. So in Voldemort's view, in the world he seeks to create, she is most in danger of persecution and violence. Hermione is one of the few voices speaking out about the very real danger that magical and non-magical people are facing. Voldemort is back and secretly gaining supporters. Hermione sees how the magical world systems and structures of powers are blatantly denying this rise of a dangerous wizard and his oppressive and violent ideology. She sees how those in seats of political power are even persecuting those who are trying to warn the public about Voldemort. And so in the face of this prediction of a horrifying and violent wizard coming to power, a world that is too afraid to acknowledge this truth, Hermione takes action. Y'all, Hermione is a community organizer. She is creative and ingenious about how she decides to strengthen the resistance to Voldemort's rise to power and the systems that are denying it happening. She begins to gather other students at Hogwarts in secret. She tells them, we're going to create a group. We're going to learn the skills to defend ourselves, to make sure our world doesn't get taken over by Voldemort's harmful ideologies and violent activities. She has the group agree to one another, agree to commit to one another, to their mission. They covenant. She even has her own encrypted way of communicating with them. Today, organizers might use WhatsApp or Signal. She was using coins that only the members had to communicate. Hermione rallies the few in her community that know the truth, that are willing to fight. She connects them. And despite the fear and oppression they face in this larger community, she organizes a celebratory resistance. A community that has their morale boosted when they are together. A community that reminds them that what they are doing is just and good and grounded in truth. She actively resists the denial, that narrative of denial that is in the larger community. And when the main wizarding publication continues to vilify those who insist Voldemort is alive, and continues to deny them the right to put anything in their print, she gets the truth out in subversive ways. She has an interview written up in a magazine that the mainstream public never really saw as credible, something today we might equate with Us Weekly. She details how Voldemort comes back. She has that story come out about how lies have already been violently ended. She helps get the word out, the truth out, in ways that the majority narrative, that system-sponsored narrative, doesn't want her to. She goes against what is acceptable, what is conventional, even legal, because she knows it is morally wrong. And beloveds, Hermione knows it's going to get worse. So she roots herself in community. She encourages people to connect with one another, to connect to a deep well of resilience and resistance that they create together. To remember their connections to each other and their mission. She invites them to hold a powerful truth in her hearts that what they are doing, despite being on the margins of a community that persecutes them and their truth, it is what they are doing. It is what they must do to save their lives and our shared world. This series may be named after a boy named Harry, but this book, this one's Hermione. So Hermione lives in a world of predictions. What about the promises? I identify as a Unitarian Universalist Muslim, and so there's a lot that I draw from both traditions. And in a lot of Western discourse, we talk about the Islamic traditions looking primarily at the Prophet Muhammad. And the Prophet Muhammad was also a community organizer. He was a messenger, he was a prophet, and he organized folks to combat economic injustice. But I'm not going to talk about him. I'm going to talk about a woman named Hajar. We might know her as Hagar in the Judeo-Christian traditions. And she is known as the mother of Islam. And I am going to tell you her story, or some of it. It's a little bit different from the stories you might hear in the Judeo-Christian texts. One day, Abraham gets a message from God. It's a message that says, take your wife and take your child to the desert and leave from there. And so, he has Hajar take her baby, and they go to the desert. He leaves them and he turns to move away, to leave them there in the middle of this dry, hot land. Hajar begs and asks, why are you doing this? Tell me, why are you doing this? Abraham doesn't respond. He continues to walk away. She asks, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? He doesn't respond. And so she asks, did God tell you to do this? Abraham says yes. And Hajar responds, God is with us then. God's on our side. And Abraham walks away. I have feelings about that part of the story. We're not going to talk about that piece. We're going to talk about what comes next. Hajar is in the middle of this desert with her baby, and she runs out of water. And so she looks for water. She runs between two mountains. She searches for water, knowing God is on our side. God will take care of us, and searches for water. And eventually, she finds water. Depending on the version of the story, it's at her baby's heel. She actively searches for water. With this promise of God's protection, Hajar is anything but passive. Her faith in God's promise of protection, it's important, but it requires action. She knows that she is a collaborator, an active participant in turning that sacred promise of protection into a reality. And so when Hajar finds water, she creates a well. She creates a well that then has travelers coming through the land, trading with her, stopping by to get water from this well that she creates. And out from that well comes a town.
Hamza City.
Anybody want to take a guess what that city is called today? I heard it. Say it louder. Yeah, Mecca. That city is called Mecca, and that well still exists. This is why Hajar is known as the mother of Islam. As a single mother, she not only survived, but she thrived in the desert. She believed in a promise, even when a man left her behind. And it was a promise she knew that she didn't just believe. She knew it required something of her. She knew her faith tasked her to co-create its promise. She believed in it, and she engaged in a core truth that she and her family could survive, could thrive. And she did. So we have our predictions with Hermione. We have the promises with Hajar or Hagar. In the face of violence and terrifying predictions, Hermione shows conviction, subversiveness, ingenuity, and action. Hajar's actions in the face of a dire situation, her decision to co-create that promise. Where are the prophecies? The prophecies in Hermione and Hajar's stories aren't found in the words spoken. The real prophecies are Hermione and Hajar themselves. The choices they make, the actions that they take in response to their respective situations, those are the real prophecies, their deeds as prophetic people. Hermione and Hajar prophesize not simply by the words, but by the ways in which they respond to the real harm and dangers in their environments. They are steadfast to their principles and their beliefs, and they live them out in resilient and creative ways. And they invite others to join them. They foster connections and community. And they're in contexts in which everything is stacked against them. Hermione is a youth of color and a muggle-born witch who's discriminated against on the best of days. And Hajar is a black woman in a patriarchal society. But they move through their fear, their despair, their anger, their treatment by others as less worthy, and they claimed their power. And they did so through ways that weren't traditional, weren't acceptable, weren't conventional. They created new methods of resilience and faith. They developed strategies that drew on their resources and their skills. They remained defiant in their embodied knowledge that they deserved better. And they remained faithful and hopeful that a different way was possible. That they had the capacity to do something with their circumstances. That they had the responsibility to do something different with their circumstances. They chose not to act from a place of despair, but from a place of self-worth, power, and resilience. They acted from a place of deep, accountable faith. That is prophecy. So what does that mean for us? Voldemort may not be real in our world, but the intensity of his hate is. The presence of ideologies that dehumanize some and elevate others, that's real. The degree of violence inflicted on people who some see as less worthy, that's real. We are in our world today surrounded by dangerous predictions and harmful, violent realities. Some of us carry that in our bodies with generations of trauma and systemic violence. Some of us are just opening our eyes to them. I could laundry list them. a climate crisis, LGBTQ humanity literally on trial, increased visibility, blatancy of white supremacy, immigration discrimination, and the list goes on. It's easy to feel angry, despair, to wonder why bother, it's too big. It's easy to feel just done. It's easy to feel unsafe. So what do? How do we find hope? How do we become living prophecies? A soul can appear to be destroyed, and a song can disappear for a few generations, only to reemerge from the cracks of sadness. There's a song that emerges and reemerges. Some of you might know it. I'll sing the chorus. You can pick it up. Some of you that were there yesterday, you know what we're about to do. Which side are you on? 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 Ella Baker was a freedom fighter and she taught us how to fight. We're gonna fight all day and night until we get it right. Which side are you on? 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 Grace Lee Boggs was a freedom fighter and she taught us how to fight. We're gonna fight all day and night until we get it right. Which side are you on? 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 Voldemort's here. Not just represented by one person, not simply quietly working in secret. Voldemort is here, and frankly, on the eve of Indigenous Peoples Day, Voldemort, we know, has always been here. Tomorrow's Indigenous Peoples Day is a reminder that Voldemort is, frankly, in our roots, that this land was built on genocide. And today, that we have people who are still fighting to remind us of that, who refuse to let systems and power structures deny what they know, what we as people of faith must name and amplify over and over again. That this is stolen land. And we can't fight Voldemort without listening to the Hermiones in our world, who are organizing despite being told not to, despite facing criminalization and incarceration for it. We cannot create a liberated world where we are all able to thrive without following the lead of Hajars, the Hajars in our world, the ones who know that to believe in something means to act on it. And so, we wrestle with those hard truths. We honor the new truths being lifted by the Indigenous communities of this land, and we change our lives to align ourselves to those truths. And not just the truths of Indigenous communities, but the truths of those fighting for a liberated world that we know is possible. That means we'll be letting go of some things that we know. It means we will be taking some real big risks. We'll be breaking rules and living lives that are no longer complacent with the way that things are and have been, because the way that things have been is what brought us here today. And we'll become those living prophecies. We'll create new promises. As the executive director of your Unitarian Universalist Justice Ministry, I believe in the promise of our faith. I believe in the world that is possible and that we are tasked to create. I believe in the promise that we know what is good and just, even if we can't put those words on it. We can feel it in our spirits, our bodies, our hearts. We can feel what Adrienne Mary Brown called a world with love at the center. Even if we don't have the details of what that world looks like, we know at the very least those first steps we can take towards it. We know who we can listen to, who we can learn from, who we must move with as we work towards what is possible. In all of these intersecting realms of justice, climate, immigrant, indigenous, racial, economic, healthcare, housing, trans rights, disability justice, and so on, we know that there are predictions of how things can get worse. And we also know that there is a promise of something greater, something more. And together, we can and we must find ways of turning that something more, that promise, into reality. We can, we must, and we will become today's living prophecies.